Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord. You are once again in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and Host, Brother James Brown Jr. And we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, as usual, I'm asking our listeners, please get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready, so that you can follow along with the man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, as he's able to deliver God's word once again on tonight. He always shares with us inspirational points before he delivers God's word. So I'm asking all listeners to get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready, because we don't want you to take it lightly or for granted, or we don't want you to think that we're making up things as we go. You can read it for yourself, what thus said the Lord. Well, on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox is going to come forth, and he's going to deliver the prayer on tonight. And then once he finishes with the prayer, I'm going to come back with our spiritual food for thought. Deacon Marvin Cox, could you please go into prayer with us on tonight?
Oh, yes, it's my pleasure. May we bow our head, please. Gracious Father, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my Father, in the name of Jesus, we come, my Father, thanking and praising you for this opportunity that you have given us, my Father, to assemble ourselves together in your most holy name. My Father, in the name of Jesus, my Father, we asked that you that sit high and look low, my Father, we ask for spiritual healing, my Father, not only in our families, my Father, not only in our communities or our nation, my Father, we ask that you bring forth a worldwide healing this day. You know what it is that we stand in need of, because you made us and you know all about us. My Father, we ask that you touch the hearts and the minds of those, my Father, that are walking contrary in your word. My Father, we ask that you restore and replace, my Father, the contrariness that is gripping the land, my Father. We ask that you replace it with love, because love needs no instructions, my Father. Love knows what to do. Father, we also ask that you bless this ministry and every ministry that has their doors open, my Father, in your name. My Father, we ask that you allow them to grow and to prosper. My Father, we ask that you touch the sick. My Father, we ask that you touch, my Father, those that have not come to the reality of serving the true and the living God. My Father, before we stand in the sandbanks, We ask that you give us the understanding that we need, my Father. We ask that you just touch everyone, my Father, in your special way. My Father, let those that are lonely know that you love them. Of those that would mind, we ask that you speak out those wondering minds. My Father, you know what it is that we need. My Father, we ask these and all blessings in the mighty name of Jesus. And in his name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Deacon Marvin Cox, for the offering that prayer on tonight. Well, we always have a spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, stand up for what you believe in, even if it means standing alone. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. Stand up for what you believe in, even if it means standing alone. I'm asking all listeners, if you would please go to blogtalkradio.com/servantsambassadorsvessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase, james_brown1558@yahoo.com. Well, in the form of announcement, I have one announcement that I'd like to share with the listeners. So bear with me. I'm going to have to step inside. I'm trying to do the show from the outside for the first time. I need to step inside. Bear with me just one moment. I got to go inside. I don't want too much interruption. Just one second. We have some fire trucks coming down my street, and I've been expecting that to happen. But anyway, I do have an announcement I'd like to make with the share with the listeners on tonight. And if you have your pens and paper, I like to always let the people know on the air, for first-time listeners especially, the Lord has opened doors for others to have souls up under this worldwide platform. And I want you all to be able to tune in to be blessed by God's word through these other vessels that he are using, whom he have anointed and appointed to preach and deliver his word. And the first one is Theologically Speaking with host Jose and Danielle Dorsey. Again, Theologically Speaking with host Jose and Danielle Dorsey, that's a husband and wife. They are the hosts. Their show airs each and every first and third Thursday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Next, we have Clinically Speaking. This is a woman of God, a psychologist. Host Sierra Renee. She comes forth each and every fourth Thursday night and every first Saturday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Next, we have Ministry Impossible with host Minister Saran Rambis. He comes forth each and every second Thursday night and every fourth Saturday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Then we have Pastor Eric Morphis. He comes forth over this worldwide platform each and every second Thursday night starting at 8 p.m. Next, we have Pastor Norman King. He is the pastor of Victor's Ministries located in Greensboro, North Carolina. He comes forth each and every third and fourth Saturday night. I forgot to mention that Pastor Eric Morphis, who comes forth each and every second Thursday night, he is the pastor of Eagle Wings Church, which is located in Warren, Michigan. And then finally, we have Deacon Marvin Cox, who's going to be delivering God's word after sharing another powerful poem first. He's going to be sharing God's word on tonight once again. Deacon Marvin Cox comes forth each and every first and second Saturday night over this worldwide platform, which starts at 8 p.m. Well, I'm going to do a short music break, and then following the music break, I'm going to come back and I'm going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. And again, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem, as he always does. Then he's going to go right into God's word. So we're going to go right into a... I'm going to do a music break, and then we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. Enjoy the music break. Worth living.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die. Your life, so I could be free, so I
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad, aren't you grateful that Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, our soon coming King, thought that your life and my life was worth living, that he came down from glory and paid our sin debt with his sinless, precious, holy, and righteous blood on the cross. And he died for us, he died for you, he died for me. But thank God he didn't stay dead. On the third day morning, he rose with the victory, with power, with all power, not just some power, but with all power in his hands. And he's now sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for the saints of God. To God be the glory for the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right now, we are going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. And as I said before, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem. And following his poem, he's going to go right into God's word. So I pray and hope that each listener has your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along with him as we get ready to go into God's word together on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. I thank you once again, Brother Brown, for this worldwide platform, for the opportunity that the Lord, through you, has given me to bring forth his word. If I had 10,000 tongues, I could never thank the Lord enough for the goodness and the mercy that he has shown unto me. Now, this poem is specifically for our brothers and our sisters, our, I'm going to call them our gun-toting Christians. And it's called, I Didn't Go Anywhere Without My Gun. I didn't go anywhere without my gun. I carried around like he was my son. You see, I had a temper like a volcano, and I never knew when it was going to blow. I wasn't looking for trouble, nor did I back down from anyone. We were inseparable, me and my gun. To the movies, the bathroom, he was always on my side. He was on my hip the day that I married my bride. I felt so safe when I was in his care. That's why I took him everywhere. Then one day, to my surprise, someone pulled a gun on me that was twice my gun size. He took my gun away and cocked my gun on me. My instincts told me that it was time to flee. The next thing I know, bullets were whizzing past my head. The same gun that I cherished almost shot me dead. Then it seems a voice from heaven said, if you're going to put your trust in anyone, it should be me and not your gun. Now I carry a Bible instead of a gun, and I don't have to be fearful of anyone. On the Lord, I've learned to lean and depend. Now I don't go anywhere without Jesus, my friend. If you learn to trust in God's Holy Son, He would protect you from, He would protect you everywhere you go, and you won't need a gun. Amen. I thank the Lord for giving me that, because there are so many Christians now that are living in fear and feel that they need that protection, and we put our trust and our faith in so many things, and we're forgetting about the number one protector that there is, one who can wave away death, one that can tell death to behave himself. So I just thank the Lord for that opportunity to bring forth that information unto his people. Now we're going to go right directly into tonight's lesson. And we were coming from the 23rd number of Psalms, the entire 23rd number of Psalms. And it reads, I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. It reads, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've just read unto you from the King James Version of the Bible, the entire 23rd number of Psalms, and may the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing, as well as the doing of his word and his will, and may it edify our souls forever. Amen. Now I'm going to immediately go into the lesson. This is part three of a message that the Lord gave me. And the more I studied, the more I began to realize that you could go a whole year speaking upon this one particular subject. And I expounded upon the 23rd number of Psalms, and it was talking about how, to just give you a brief summary, for those that may be first-time listeners or those that may have missed lesson number one and lesson number two, but it is giving us comfort. It's letting us know, say, that the Lord is my shepherd, and I don't have to want for anything. Why? Because he's meeting all my needs. And it's also is telling us that he will protect us. He will feed us. He will wave death away from us if we allow him to. And so our first lesson was concern and worry. If I know that the Lord is all these things to me, that the Lord can do all those aforementioned things that was just brought forth, then it's no reason why I should worry. Because even his word, he was telling us that he provides for everything, that the foxes have no holes, the birds have no place, that, you know, and the son of, you know, and he was just letting us know that all of these creatures that he has created, that they, God is letting us know tonight, the first lesson was, worrying has no benefits. And we talked about a few things, the chain reaction that worry causes in the poem that was brought forth on the first lesson. And then last week, we were discussing about worry. Worry is the mother of many things. We begin to get a little bit more specific on the things that worry can do to the mind, the body, and the soul. And we expounded on a few scriptures that were coinciding with the things that worry will do to you and the things that worry will take you away from. And it's basically because of a lack of trust in God. It's because of fear. It's because of a self-made fear. And we talked about self-pity, which we know that when we worry and when we begin to worry, that it turns into a self-pity party for us. We become the guests of honor at our own self-pity party. We begin to feel that we are abandoned. We begin to feel that nobody loves us. We begin to think in our mind that we are in this world alone. But God's word lets us know that we should take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Why? Because he cares for us. And there's so many scriptures that encourage us that when we are troubled, that we should turn to God as opposed to self. Because, see, when we think about ourself, we begin to, and self begins to dominate, then we're moving God completely out of the way. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And his word says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there because he cares for you. That's all I should be able to think about. I got, hey, this problem, my mortgage not being paid, that's not my problem. Take it to the Lord and leave it there. My contrary children is not my problem. Let me take them. The Lord, he asked me very nicely to bring those problems to me. I know what to do with them. When our children are acting contrary and saying like we don't have no control or no say-so in their life, those are not our children. Those are God's children. Turn them back over to him, which leads us to tonight's lesson, which is telling each and every last one of us, we're talking about deception. We're talking about how worry will lead you to self-deception. And if I'm not mistaken, if we go back to the beginning, if we go back to the Garden of Eden, we know that I would say that deception was the first sin, because that demon, that serpent, he deceived Eve in such a way that he began to bring forth falsehood. And see, one thing about deception, which is our topic for tonight, just plain deception, we know that deception, it sneaks up on you. And today it was kind of funny, because my wife and I, we were talking about that, and I was telling her, I said, deception, it knocks on the door. It doesn't knock the door down. It doesn't kick the door. It knocks on the door. And you got the ability to respond to it by answering the door. And if you see that it's deception, you can say, no, you cannot come in here. And as we were speaking, we heard a knock on the door, and we looked at each other, and it was kind of like a scary moment for us. And so deception, it sneaks up on you. And when it does, it might take a while to manifest itself, but it will lay dormant until it's convenient for your mind and your heart to receive it. It won't lay on that fertile ground, which is our mind and our hearts. And if our minds and our heart reject it, then it has no place to grow. And deception, it will speak a false suggestion or narrative. It will tell you something that you possibly you possibly know, excuse me, you possibly know what it is, but it will, you know, as Brother Paul would say, that he was almost persuaded. And also, if it were permissible, if it was permissible, now I'm just paraphrasing here, deception would even fool the chosen elect. So I'm going to surmise that deception was one of the first sins, because it covers a whole lot of things. It's good at what it does. It's an expert at what it does. It lies without expression. Normally, when your children come to you and they're telling you a lie, you can tell by their gyrations or their uneasiness that they're not telling you the truth. And you might say, boy, you better tell me the truth. I don't believe that. But see, deception can look you straight in the eye and not even blink. And it defies the truth. But it needs that fertile place to grow. And if it speaks not only a believable, but an acceptable lie, because we are so willing sometimes to, as they say, sometimes when people go to the doctor and they're not satisfied with the diagnosis that the doctor gave them, they say, look, I will seek a second opinion. See, that deception is a second opinion, and it's visual as well as mental. I want you to think about that. Deception is visual. You don't believe me? Blackstone Jr. and Siegfried and Roy and Harry Houdini, they were the masters of deception. They were masters of deception in such a good way. They were not only, they will fool your eyes first, and then you will leave believing that an individual has been levitated. You will leave believing that your eyes, you just saw a miracle happen. Now, let me tell you some of the things that deception do. It's deceitful. It's duplicity. Double dealing. These are some of the words, the synonyms that you can associate with deception. I'm going to read off quite a few of them, because I can say that you were deceived, but because you don't receive that you were deceived. But I'm going to use all of the names, some of the slang names that deception is. It's fraud. It's cheating. It's trickery. It's hoodwinking. Chicanery. Slyness. Underhandedness. Deviousness, cunning, craftiness, lying, guile, artfulness, bluff. When somebody's bluffing, they're trying to deceive you. It's being untrustworthy, two-faced, misleading, falsehood, false impressions. Finally, self-deception. It's to trick oneself into believing, embracing, endorsing, or promoting living a lie. And that's why we go to self-deception, because we will sometimes believe that something is not the way that it is. And it comes, as I say, this is one of the children's worry, but it comes from a lack of trust, not the deception, but the worrying part. Because you can trust in something, and they normally say, and this is a warning to a lot of us, but they normally say that if something is too good to be true, then it probably is. And this is a warning too, because there's been so many of my brothers and my sisters and elderly people and even young people nowadays that have become victims, and that is one word I left out, but they become victims of a scam. A scam is a deception, because we feel that it is a greater benefit for us to make that one particular sacrifice, because we're going to get a great reward on the other end. And if you look at your local news every day, you'll find out about someone stealing somebody's identity. You'll find out about an elderly person or a couple losing their whole life savings because someone scammed them, somebody duped them, somebody was underhanded, somebody tricked them into believing that it was a greater reward for them. And we got all types of things going on. We got Ponzi schemes. We got all types of, you know, false companies that, you know, well, you better get in on the ground floor. And we're a growing company, but the trust that we need to put that trust in the Lord. We need to stop deceiving ourselves. And we're going to touch a little bit upon self-pity, because self-pity is one is deceiving themselves that God does not love them, that family members have abandoned them, that all of these negative emotions, that is the offshoot, that is the child, that is the children, that is the many children of worry, they don't come visiting you all at one time, but they come visit you one after another. When it doesn't work, they'll send another brother. If that brother does not be effective, they'll send another one. And it was a saying that my parents used to say a long time ago, and I'm more than sure that it's still popular today, but they used to say, if it's not one thing, it's another. So we have to be on guard for these things. Why? Because this self-deception that we have, this self-deception which comes from a lack of trust in the Lord. As I say in the Psalms, as well as Peter, first verse, fifth through the seventh verse, it says, cast your cares, take your burden to the Lord, because he cares about you. He will take care of you. He will not allow nothing to come up against you. And he promised, he said, if I'm for you, then I'm more than the whole world is against you. I'm just paraphrasing. But one person that we fail to include in I'm more than that the world is against you, and that's ourself. You know, we think that when these things happen, that we are excluded. So how in the world can you be on guard from yourself? But see, it's one thing that we have to be careful of, and I call it my enemy. No, not my E-N-E-M-Y, me. Not that enemy, not that one that's outside that's trying to ambush me or trick me or deceive me. But I'm talking about that inner me, that I-N-N-E-R, me. I'm talking about that fellow right there, the one that lives with me, the one that walks with me, the one that talks with me, the one that is waiting to take over if I allow him to. See, we have to all, and see, all of us, you know, how sometimes we say that person don't have an enemy in the world. No, it might not have, might not have crossed nobody, might not have got on somebody's bad side. But I'm talking about that inner me, that consciousness that we have that casts doubt upon the simplest things, that tell us that we cannot accomplish anything, that tell us that we are failure in all things. I'm talking about that inbred enemy, because we're born in sin. So if we're born in sin, then that means that I got an inner me. I got somebody that's going to always promote those things, that's going to always be deceitful. Why? Because he don't want me to progress in the Lord. And I'll tell you this, there's been a lot of times that the Lord may have instructed us to do something, and us with our foolish selves fool around, and we talk ourselves out of doing something that is going to be a great deal of benefit in it not necessarily for us, but for the Lord. The Lord wants us to demonstrate sometimes that even though we may face adverse conditions, that he can get the glory and the honor out of our suffering. But nobody wants to suffer. As I say, this self-deception is something that it's going to always be, always around us. Why? Because it's doubt. It's doubt. And as long as there's a certain amount of doubt, and where there's doubt, there's fear. And where there's fear, you better believe that worry is in the background laughing. Because worry wants us to do all those things. Worry wants us to not trust the Lord. Worry wants us to feel that our children, our relatives don't love us. Worry wants us to feel that there's no way out, that it'd be best if I end my own life. See, worry is greater than what anybody thinks. And God's word constantly tells us about worry. It says, don't be anxious about nothing. Proverbs 3:5-6 say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make it straight your path. So if I do these things, see, I just have to tell worry, you know, take a hike. Because worry is just like quicksand. The deeper you go into worry, the deeper you're going to sink. And then the next thing you know, you're going to be submerged in that quagmire of life. And there's no need because, as I say, it's subtle. And subtle is something that's subtle. It's something that, if you notice how some people are out, and it's unfortunate that tonight we got people at our local bars that is indulging in those liquid libations, and they are drinking. And they're drinking, and, you know, when they leave the bar, they're sober as a judge. But as soon as they get behind the wheel, that subtleness of that liquor, it took a little while for it to kick in, and then, boom, that's how subtle things happen. They come on you so innocently. I'll put it that way. They come on you so innocently, and that by the time they rear its ugly head, then it took control, or you have lost control. Either way you want to look at it, you have lost control, and you no longer can deal with it. Why? Because that particular situation is an overwhelming situation, or you have made a mistake. Why? Because you were allowed yourself to believe that it has no effect, or it will have no effect upon you. But we got to be careful of this deception, because this deception that's going around, like the man with the gun, he believed that that gun would protect him for anything. But see, that gun didn't protect him from another gun. He put all his trust, his faith, his confidence in something. But later on down, when he ran up against adversity, and that same thing that he trusted, that same thing that he put all his faith in, that same thing that he was inseparable from, it almost cost him his life. Now, could you imagine some of the things that we hold on to, some of those things that we cherish, some of those things that we feel that we cannot do without? The minute they begin to turn on us or find no favor in us any longer, we become extremely confused. But see, God was there from the beginning, and he will be there at the end, because he is Alpha and he is Omega. So he is the beginning and he is the end. So that little slash that we go through, we got to be careful, because we have allowed And sometimes this deception, as well as this self-deception, it will take us away from all the things that we love, from all the people that we love. It will separate us. And God says, don't let nothing separate you from the love of God. So this means not even myself, not even my thoughts, because see, these negative thoughts, which we're going back, it might say like I'm all over the place tonight, but see, we're going to go back to worry, because see, worry produces a lot of negative thoughts. And see, negative thoughts are just like germs. Negative thoughts are just like germs. And the reason I say that is because they will find the weakest part of your body to enter into. And it might lay there dormant. And what they do, if they attacked your immune system in the body, they attack your immune system in your heart, which is your spiritual. And we say that Christ is in me. See, Christ is my immune system. That's why we have to put on the whole armor of God. And we put on that armor of God, it protects us. It protects our head. Because why? It's the helmet of salvation. It protects us with the breastplate. It protects us when we gird our loins. It protects us, as I say, the breastplate protects us from those fiery darts. And those fiery darts are constantly being shot at us. And they're coming from all directions. You know how sometimes you could, you know, be going really smooth, and the next thing you know, a close loved one that says something contrary and to knock you off your square, and you arguing with that individual. Why? Because those fiery darts that they shot at you have penetrated and they become painful, and you do not like them doing that. But it's going to happen. So when we deceive ourselves from believing something into believing something that we know is not true, when we have got warnings, a multitude of warnings from people that care about us. Children, if you're listening, do not deceive yourself that you know more than your parents, because that activity that you're going through right now, they done lived it. Children would think that their parents don't want them to have fun, that the parent is being overprotective. But I got news for you. God's word says, watchman, what is the night? Did you warn my people of the danger to come? So it is the job of every parent to let their children know, no, you don't want to go down there. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. You don't want to hang with this crowd. You don't want to. So, but we deceive ourselves into saying, oh, mama, that's my friend. Or dad, you don't know what you're talking about. So this self-deception, it happens, as I say, it happens to everybody. Nobody is exempt from that. The reason I say that, we could go to God's word once again. And it says that, so thinketh a man in his heart, then so is he. So if I believe, I mean, it's all right. Don't get me wrong. It's all right to dream, to feel that you can accomplish great things. But our youth of the day, they're deceiving themselves. And the reason I say they're deceiving themselves is because they're feeling that they are invincible, they are indestructible, and that they're going to live forever. So they go out and they do foolish things or hang with the wrong crowd, and through that self-deception, or that they know it all, And through that self-deception, then we get a lot of casualties. See, self-deception will bring about casualties. And it will bring them about in such a way that it's unbelievable. You know, we just look at life in general and things that have happened to other people. It's only human nature to feel, nah, so-and-so wasn't smart. I'm not going to allow that to happen to me. But statistically speaking, I mean, if God is protecting you, then quite naturally things that have happened to other people will not happen to you because God will protect you. So how can we protect ourselves from this? We must, first of all, turn it over to God. Let God handle these situations. Now, one thing about God's word that I love, that he has told me through his word, that if you're going to tell the people about something, you're going to tell them about me. You're going to tell them about gloom and doom. You're going to tell them about worry. You're going to tell them about all of these things. Then a lot of times when ministers or people talk about the Lord, we just talk about gloom and doom. But guess what? We don't give God's people a way out. We don't give them a solution to the problem that we just expounded upon to them. So if I tell you about something and I do not give you a solution on how to resolve that particular matter, then I'm speaking to you in vain. Now, we can tell you that the wages of sin is death. And that's a scary message right there. But the gift of God is eternal life. So if I don't tell you that if the wages of sin is death, it's a simple message behind that. Don't sin. If you don't want to die, don't sin. But since we sin daily, then I got to tell you that about repentance. So regardless of what the message might be, there should be a solution at the end of the message so that we could resolve that matter, so that we won't continue to go, because a lot of times we may get the warning, don't you do that, don't you know it's wrong? But see, just telling somebody that is wrong is not good enough. We tell them about the consequences, but that's not good enough, because the curiosity of people and the self-deception that's going on inside of people's heads will bring them to that particular conclusion. But we got to tell them, give them a way out, give them hope. Because if I'm in a hopeless situation and you're telling me that my situation is hopeless, I'm looking for you to give me some type of way to get up out of this hopelessness, some type of way to extricate myself from this devastating dilemma that has been delivered unto me, or that I have allowed myself to enter into. And that is the purpose of me talking about worry, to let you know that there is a way out. And that's one of the hardest things it is. You ask any parent, do they worry about their children? And without even thinking, without even blinking, yeah, I worry about my kids all the time. But is that good for you? Is that healthy for you? Is there any benefit in it for you? I think not. God lets us know, don't be anxious about anything. And all you got to do is think back to how you were in the day and how God brought you through. And I know if he could bring me through, then he could bring my child through. So it's just something for us to think about this evening, about this deception. But the solution to this deception is when I begin to believe and I take upon the difference. deceived, allow myself to be deceived. Then I got to cast my cares to God. I got to take my burdens to the Lord. I have to refresh my mind. Because as long as you go on that same plane, you're traveling down, how they call it, a slippery slope. And if you're on a slippery slope, then you have nothing to grip onto. Your next destination is the bottom. So my brothers and my sisters, do not allow yourself to be deceived. I see they're working against you on two different angles. The deception that is going on in the world and the deception that is going on inside of your head. And it's not easy. Don't get me wrong. It's not that easy to fight those thoughts off. But if you feel this way today and then tomorrow, you got a different perception of how things should be. You hit a little rough spell and those people that love you today, because they tell you that it's wrong and they're not going to pull up with your foolishness, does not mean that they don't love you. Oh, they told me about myself, so they don't love me no more. We would deceive ourselves into believing that a person don't love us. Why? Because they told us what was right. We believe that a person don't love us. Why? Because they didn't loan us money so that we could go out and party with it. We believe all of these things. Why? Because we're deceiving ourselves. But then we forget. See, Christians got very short memories when it comes down to different things. They forget about all the things that God has brought them through and continue to bring them through, bring their children through, their husbands through, their wives through, and all of this. And because God may deny them, I'm not going to say deny them, but because God didn't think it was the right time for them to have a certain thing. Because there's a lot of things he could give us, but we're just not ready for it. And Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, tells us to everything, it's a season and a time and a purpose for everything under the sun. So if we allow ourselves, or if we get anything out of season, if you notice, if you get a watermelon out of season, it don't be sweet. It don't have the flavor. It'd be a whole lot smaller. Anything that you do out of season is not going to be as prosperous to you as if it were in season. So let's not deceive ourselves. Let's not live that deceitful lie. Let us not accept that deceit. Let us not be tricked or hoodwinked into doing things that we know are wrong. That's a deceit right there. If you know something is wrong and you do it anyway, you don't think there's no consequence for it, automatically it's going to be a consequence for that. Well, you're deceiving yourself. So, as I was saying at the beginning of this presentation, that I could speak on worry and all of these things for a whole year and not touch on the same obstacle, not touch on the same part of worry, not touch upon the same ideology, because it's got so many, as I say in lesson number 2, it's got so many children, and each one of them, just like Legion. So, Legion, and guess what? We are many. So it's going to come at you in all different types of ways. But tonight's lesson is deception. And I tell you, don't be deceived and don't deceive yourself. May God bless you and may ever keep you. I'll now turn you over to the hands of Brother Brown.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on tonight. I pray that someone was blessed by this word on tonight, because that is a fact. It is a known fact. There is no benefit in worrying. So if you're going to worry, why pray? If you're going to pray, why worry? So that's the conclusion of part 3 of this message from Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight. There is no benefit in or to worrying. Like he just said, according to a verse, he said, cast all of your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. He cares for you. He cares for me. So we thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox and that poem That was a long time word for the regarding that poem, Deacon Marvin Cox, for the times that we're living in. I thank you for sharing that poem, and I pray that someone is blessed by that poem and take heed to that poem. Don't let this go in one ear and out the other. Think about it. Let it meditate and marinate in your mind about that poem on tonight, Without My Gun. So I thank Deacon Marvin Cox for that powerful message on part three of There Is No Benefit in Worrying. Again, I pray that someone will be blessed by it. Deacon Marvin Cox, you continue to stand on God's word. You can continue to write an inspirational poem that as God gives them to you so that you can share them with the body of Christ, that we can be blessed and helped and strengthened even through the poems, the inspirational poems. So that's a gift that God has anointed you to have. So we don't want to take that lightly either. I pray that you continue to pass the word on about this worldwide ministry and platform, because that's what this is. It's a ministry. God's word is going forth. People are being saved. People are being healed, delivered, and strengthened. Those that have gone astray, God is bringing them back to the fold because of this word that is going forth over this worldwide platform. And we give God the glory for it. So now we're going to give it a close out in prayer once again. And we're going to ask that you would tune in faithfully on every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 until 9 p.m. and be blessed by another word from the Lord. Please pray with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for your word, Heavenly Father, that has gone forth through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox. We pray, Lord, that it has not gone on deaf ears, that if someone has been inspired by this word and someone is going to take your word and they're going to hide it in their heart so that they won't sin against you in the form of worrying when they know, according to your word, that we don't have to worry because you care for us and we can cast all of our cares upon you. And we just thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us. We know that we don't deserve it. We're not worthy of it. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can cast all our cares upon you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have a Savior in the person of your Son, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our soon-coming King. Lord, we thank you for his precious blood that was shed on the cross for us. And, oh God, I pray that should there be any listeners on tonight that do not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior, is our prayer, hope, and desire that your word has gone forth, that they will open their own mouth, confess their sins, and ask Jesus Christ, your Son, to come into their hearts and save them, even on tonight, because we know that it's not your desire that any souls be lost. Our Lord, and we ask that you will continue to comfort and strengthen all those that have lost loved ones all over the land. Continue to be with your people, Heavenly Father, over in the Caribbean. We are about to experience another hurricane. They just had a Hurricane Dorian that came through their land on last week, and they're about to experience another hurricane. So we ask that you will be with them on tonight. Comfort and strengthen those that have lost loved ones because of the hurricane. Not only for those victims, Heavenly Father, but all those that have lost loved ones all over the land. Comfort and strengthen as only you can. Let them know and remember that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Continue to bless, strengthen, and anoint your people all over the land, that we can be more doers of your word and not just hearers only. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Heavenly Father, we now ask that you will move by your spirit on tomorrow in every door that's going to be opened in your Son Jesus' name. Anoint each vessel that's going to stand on your word and preach and deliver your word on tomorrow, that your word will go forth with power on tomorrow, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, that the body of Christ will be strengthened and edified through your word on tomorrow. We pray that you will move by your spirit like never before, because if there was ever a time we needed you, we sure do need you now. So we just thank you for who you are. We bless your name, Heavenly Father, because we know that you're worthy. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. And you are in total control at all times, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what we hear or think. We thank you that you are in total control. You never slumber nor sleep, and all power is in your hand, in your hands, Heavenly Father. So now, Lord, we ask that you continue to bless each listener. Grant them the desires of their heart is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. All believers in Jesus Christ said, amen. Well, that's the message on tonight. I pray that you was blessed by it. Thank you for tuning in. Once again, continue to spread the good news about this ministry so that others can tune in and be blessed by it as well. Until the next time, know that I love you, but God loves you even more. Good night.